During Advent, we have been visiting those stories about the ones who first met the Messiah and the impact of his visit upon them. They're important stories for us because we also are met by this Messiah, and he has an impact upon us. We'll be looking today at the shepherds. We've seen the encounter of the Messiah with Mary and with Joseph, and the story continues today with the shepherds. We'll be reading in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And let's pray together before we read God's Word. Lord God, thank you for loving us so and for making the love specific and penetrating into our lives through the gift of your Son. We pray that we could hear of your love afresh today in your Word. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Luke 2, beginning at verse 8. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All of us have defining moments in our lives. I read about a man who'd had such a defining moment 73 years ago. I believe it was in Monday's paper. It was the account of the gathering of the survivors of Pearl Harbor last Sunday. Last Sunday was Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, 73 years later. And the one whose picture was in the paper was a guy named Larry Perry, age 94 now. And this was his first time to go back to Pearl Harbor all these years later. But in the meantime, he's been a part of the Pearl Harbor Survivors Association. And he had a uniform on, and he had the rank of commander in this association. Now think with me about all of the moments that happened in a 94-year-old man's life. How many of those had that kind of impact upon him? Probably no other moment had the impact on him that moment in his life did. On a little boat in Pearl Harbor, not far from the Arizona, which went down with lots of lives lost and so on. It was a defining moment in his life, so much so that 73 years later, he makes the journey to Pearl Harbor, complete with uniform and tears shed, and he was marked. I also read early in the week about Emily Rinda. She works at the University of Virginia as a sexual violence specialist. Now, why is that? Well, she had a defining moment. Unlike the confusion around the story from the Rolling Stone, she was definitely assaulted 5 years ago as a freshman. Now, her whole life is not about that, but the moment definitely defined her to the extent that she has now made it her career to try and prevent such things from happening there at the University of Virginia. I don't know if any of you have had anything so catastrophic in your lives as happened with Larry or with Emily. Emily, rather. But all of us have had some moments that, in one way or another, defined us. And we just read the story in the Gospel of Luke about an extraordinary defining moment. There were shepherds out in a field near the little village of Bethlehem, and they had no reason to believe that this night would be any different than scores of other nights that had not defined them at all. But this one was different. And from then on, they were different. We don't know the story of any of the particular shepherds that night. We don't even know how many there were, but we do know that they'd each had the sort of moments that had defined them as shepherds in that era. For example, sometime when each of them was a child, he realized, I've been born into a shepherd family. That means I'm going to be a shepherd. That's how families and careers worked in that day, and it was a defining moment, not a grand stroke of lightning, and yet defining in its own way. And then there were moments, probably in their teen years, when they realized that shepherds were not exactly at the top of the social ladder. They lived out in the fields, and they showed the signs of that. They were semi-nomadic, and so the people who were settled saw them as peripheral to life and not to be trusted, and let's keep an eye on them till they move on, kind of people. Those kind of moments and perceptions had gradually defined them as shepherds in that day and time. So when an angel appeared to them suddenly, out in the middle of the dark, here's this bright flash. They look and they see this glowing figure, an angel, and then a whole choir of angels lighting up the whole sky. My guess is that their first action was to look over their shoulders and see who the angels were actually talking to. Couldn't be us. I mean, we're the least of the least around here. That's how they saw themselves and how everybody else saw them, except the Lord, who saw them with a different eye. He chose them out of all that he could have chosen. He chose them to be the first to hear the good news of Jesus' birth. They got the birth announcement first. The shepherds! Could have been the mayor of Bethlehem. I mean, protocol would dictate that you bring important news to important people, or could have gone straight to the top and told King Herod, but here the Lord chose to tell the shepherds. And it became a life-changing, defining moment for them, a redefining moment. They'd moved from being scorned and marginal to being treasured and chosen people, as shown by the Lord choosing them to hear the good news first. Now, none of them could have invented this. Most defining moments in our lives are not the kind of things that we cobble together. They happen to us. We find ourselves in them suddenly, as Larry did in Pearl Harbor, as Emily did on a tragic night in her life. It happened to them. And in a life-changing way. As the angel told them more about this baby, he pointed to them in some important descriptions of how this life would be, how their lives would be impacted by this newborn baby. Simply by describing the baby to them, he described some of the impact upon them. He said, "This little baby you're going to see is the Savior." If you hang around the church house, you're going to hear that word Savior a lot. We use that word a lot around here, but think about it. What's a Savior do? He saves. He saves. From what? Well, read on in the New Testament, you find that He saves us from sin and from death. And from what we see in the shepherd's story, we discover that He saves us also from the life-quenching effects of life's harsher defining moments. Before the shepherds met the Savior that night, the most significant thing you could say about them was that they were shepherds. Explained a whole lot about who they were and how they lived. But after the defining moment, all these other definitions in their lives just shrank in significance. And the most important identifier of their lives became that they were chosen to meet the Savior. And as such, they were bearers of His good news. So even though they continued as shepherds, meeting Jesus redefined them in a very important life-changing way. Now here's the good news. Meeting the Savior trumps the significance of every other life-defining moment that you've had. Think of all those moments that have defined you in one way or another, some for good and some for ill. Meeting the Savior trumps those. You now are a person who's been met by Jesus Himself, the Savior. And through the Savior, there is healing for the kind of moments that have confined us and have pulled us down in life. For Larry, the survivor of a horrific battle, there's deep inner healing. For Emily, survival of a sexual assault, there's deep inner healing. And when such defining moments are left unhealed, they define us down for the rest of our lives. And we've seen examples of that. We've lived that ourselves. Some trauma comes to us, some we bring upon ourselves. All of it is redefined by our Savior, who comes and brings healing into the depths of who we are and through the full extent of our lives. He redefines us. And it's great good news. You and I and the shepherds have a Savior who saves us from sin and death and from the life-quenching effect of life's darker moments. You have a Savior. And that's not all the angel told the shepherds that night. He also told them, not only is this one born to you a Savior, He is the Messiah. Shepherds weren't well known for their piety. I think that's probably why David stood out in the crowd, that he, among all the shepherds anyone knew, was a guy who walked closely with the Lord. But even these shepherds, unpious as they might have been, knew the stories of the Messiah. He was the one that the people of Israel had been awaiting for centuries. And now there was an angel before them telling them this was God's time. Now, in your life, just right over there, is born the Messiah, the one your people have been waiting on forever, the one who makes things right. And just hearing that the Messiah was here and that they could go see Him brought an immediate excitement for them, but it would take the whole of their lives for the full impact of that good news to dawn upon them. It's because they were being made part of something much bigger than themselves. Being shepherds in field was fine. It's how they fed their families, but it was not the kind of thing that could fill the heart with a sense of purpose in life. And part of what it means to be human is that we're made for quests and challenges, and we're made for a purpose big enough to live for. And if we don't have a purpose worthy of such life focus, then we try to make such a purpose out of things of less significance. We've all done this. I think at one time or another we've all realized that something we really thought was central to life ended up being of very marginal import. And the classic example of this is waking up halfway through life and realizing, you know, all these things I've worked so hard to attain, is that really what it was about? Went to school, got good grades, got a good job, made a lot of money, got all the toys. People look at me as a success, and I'm feeling empty. We see that all around us. Many of us have had that conversation with ourselves. It's not that the quests themselves were unworthy, it's just that none of them were of the magnitude necessary to fill the deep need that the human heart has for purpose. And I don't know what the quest the shepherds had been on, but given their lives, it probably wasn't anything very big until they were met by an angel who announced to them that they were meeting the Messiah, the one who brings the kingdom of God. And now they were being caught up into His movement, which meant that they had something more than big enough to live for the rest of their lives. Now that's a defining moment. So they are being sent to meet the one who is Savior, and he's Messiah. And then to top it off, the angel said, this one who's born to you tonight is Lord. Now that's another word that you hear around the church house all the time. But I can tell you that those shepherds in the field heard it with different ears. Lord? Really? The one who spoke the worlds into being? The one who parted the Red Sea? The one that set Mount Sinai to quaking? The one who put people on their faces saying, the Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God! That one? Well, the shepherds knew that they ran way over their heads. This is the one who's rightly to be feared. Now think about this conversation that's gone on. The first thing that the angel says to the shepherds is, you don't have to be afraid. And then he follows that with, you're about to meet the Lord. The one who is rightly to be feared. This is pretty foreign to us. We don't think in these terms because our experience varies greatly from the shepherds. They knew about kings and they knew about bowing before kings. We have presidents and representatives and we're equal citizens in this land and we don't bow to anybody. So it's kind of foreign to us, and it's foreign for another reason. The shepherds knew what everybody thought of them, and tell the truth, they probably thought of it themselves as being the least and of not of great value. We, in contrast, have grown up in a culture that has told us that you're very important people and that life is really about you finding your fulfillment. And so the whole concept of having someone who's beyond us, we don't get that very well. But the good news of the gospel is that there is one who's been born to you who is beyond you. He is not your chum. He's not just the big man upstairs. He is the Lord God Almighty. And if that's not mysterious enough for you, the Lord God Almighty became a baby in our midst, one of us. This is the kind of gospel news before which we rightly veil our faces. We can't fully take that in. And yet it's what we've needed all along. To meet the Lord. And so the Lord has come. And this becomes a defining moment for us. I want you to think about the defining moments in your life. If we had time, I'd gather you into small groups and get you to share about what were those days when you went out the far end of it, you were a different person, for good or for ill. I bet you can click off several in your mind right now. All of those days, however defining, have now been trumped by the birth of one who is your Savior and your Messiah and your Lord. He has the power to redefine our lives. And it's His intent that we would be as the shepherds were. Luke gives us just a glimpse of their response. They did two things. They couldn't quit talking about what they had seen once they went to behold this newborn babe. And they couldn't quit praising God. That's exactly how the Lord wants to redefine us. That we would be about this one who has been born to us, and that what we say about any subject would somehow be freighted with speaking of Him. And that all of our words would be punctuated with praise given to God, unceasing praise for the privilege of having been met by the one who is Savior and Messiah and Lord. That's good news. Now let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for telling us good news. Thank you for sending the Spirit to persist in our lives so that finally, its effect would penetrate into us. Thank you that you've just begun to work out the full implications of good news in our lives. Lord Jesus, Savior, Messiah, have your way with us. We are yours, and we pray in your name. Amen.